Welcome back, everybody, to the Friar Talk podcast and YouTube channel. Today, we're going live, going to be answering your guys' questions. And then first off, we're going to talk a little bit about Mackenzie Gore and his most recent outing, and then just previewing the Philly series a little bit, because if the Padres show some life in this Philly series, I am quite a bit more confident than I have been. But I'll start with you, Isaac. What were your thoughts on Mackenzie Gore, and how do you feel about him right now? And really, I guess the big question is, do you think he's going to get called up this year? And if so, when?
Apparently he had a pretty solid outing down in the, I think it's the Arizona Complex League, I think it's what it's called, the ACL. Apparently he had a pretty good outing there. Of course, it's not any major competition. It's nothing to, you know, go crazy about, but it's just a matter of getting him out there, throwing some innings, you know, seeing what his stuff looks like and everything like that. Obviously in AAA, he didn't look very good. That's definitely 100% a hitter's ballpark. You don't know how you're going to look. And I mean, we saw Adrian Martinez get rocked in that park too. So you just, you know, that's for sure. Hitters. Austin Hedges hit around 280, 300 in that ballpark. So, you know, that's important to note. Mackenzie Gore, though, you know, I don't know if he'll get called up anytime soon. I think mid-September earliest, but more likely we'll see him probably 2022, which I think if he's not up by 2022, then there's some major concerns. Not too many concerns right now, just because, you know, he didn't have any in-game action during the whole COVID season. And, you know, the in-game action he had this year wasn't anything crazy, and he was getting lit up in it. So, you know, you got to give the kid some time, give him more time. I know, you know, Ryan Weathers is out there and he's throwing, he's not doing very good. But as far as Mackenzie Gore goes, you know, that's your top prospect. You're grooming him to be an ace, and that's what this team needs to do. They need to be patient and just, you know, hope some good happens in the next couple months.
For you guys who don't know what his stat line was for the night, he threw 4 2/3 innings, allowed one hit, one earned run, which was a home run. Or actually, not a home run. He also had a hit by pitch, a walk, and 8 strikeouts. So he had a really solid outing. I mean, it is against lower level talent, which we expect him to be upon, but the no walk or the one walk is really nice to see. I think he had one hit by pitch, which, hey, a pitch gets away from you, that's fine. You know, we've seen Musgrove nail people. We've seen a couple other guys hit a ton of people. So it's not that much, but the walks is probably the key thing here. It looks like his location's back. It looks like he's able to throw his pitches for strikes, all of them. He's getting the strikeouts with his stuff. And it means he's not wasting pitches like he was before. You know, it's just a good thing to see. And according to the minor league baseball, his next game should be also tomorrow. So it looks like he might have like a short stint tomorrow just to get back into the groove of things.
So I actually kind of feel a little bit differently than you do, Isaac, just on when he will be called. I think there's a chance that he gets called up very soon, only because the lack of pitching right now on this team. And well, I saw a report today that Paddock is about weeks out. So not, you know, crazy concerned that he is going to be back soon. Now, it does sound like Yu Darvish is going to be back soon, but I think there's a very good chance that we could see Mackenzie Gore come up and start in an important game. Potentially maybe that Wednesday game against the Dodgers. I would probably doubt that's as early as he'll come up, but I think more likely like early September, I think I would expect him to come up then. I do think that's the case. I think if he has one more solid outing in AAA, I think they're going to say, all right, he's feeling it. Let's call him up. Let's, you know, give this kid a chance to, I mean, right now, I mean, the season's in serious jeopardy and there's not many arms that are there. So I think right now is a time where he could potentially get called up. But I don't know. That's where I'm at on it. I know it's a little bit different, Isaac. Do you think there's a chance that that could happen though? I know that you think that it's more likely 2022, but do you think there's a chance?
Yeah. If the pitching was here, I would say guaranteed 2022, but the pitching isn't here right now. Yu Darvish just threw his first bullpen today and I don't know how it's going to look. I'm kind of thinking he's going to throw against LA. I'm not entirely sure, but obviously that's a big series. And for, you know, all season, both of these teams save their horses for each other. So I think that might be the case for that one. But Mackenzie Gore, obviously there is a chance. I think there's a chance for him and Adrian Martinez to both get called up and have an outing here soon. Just, you know, Mackenzie Gore, it's a matter of, are you ready to come up to the major leagues and, you know, provide provide that ace value that you thought we were gonna, that we thought we were gonna have from him. And maybe he doesn't have to be an ace, you know, maybe he can just go 4 or 5 quality innings and call it a day. But you know, you don't want to call him up too early, rock the guy's confidence. The, pretty much what they're doing to Weathers, which is criminal. But you don't want to do that to Mackenzie Gore. So while it is, you know, it's a realistic possibility that he gets called up, I would honestly kind of hope that they take it a little patient, you know, have a little bit more of a patient approach, and mid-September be the earliest that he comes up.
Yeah, I'm expecting him just to get called up in September, along with Adrian Martinez. It looks like they're going to just kind of roll out for the next 2 weeks with what they have, and then once the roster expands, they're just going to try to use everyone from there to kind of save our guys' innings, which I don't necessarily agree with, because you're running into the toughest part of your schedule right now, and I think if you're going to call someone up, you need to do it right now, because they're going to need to get their MLB or their first MLB starts against some of these weaker teams before you run into the Dodgers and the Giants in these the last 2 weeks of the season, because it's probably make or break there. If we make playoffs, those last 15 games, we play the Giants a ton. We play the Dodgers, I think, for 2 series. So if you don't have your guys that, hey, we know we're going to need these in later season, and you don't promote them now and get them experience, you're kind of setting them up for failure in an impossible situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I'm seeing a lot of stuff about just where the Padres are at right now. So I'm going to let's shift gears and talk about this Philly series a little bit. Right now, Padres 12 games out of first. You know, up a game right now on the Reds, and potentially a half game because the Reds are winning in the 8th inning currently, according to Greg. So thanks for sending that in there, Greg. But this is a very concerning part of this team, of this season. And right now, the Padres have a chance. I think they should absolutely win the next 2 games, the first 2 games of this Philly series. And I think that it's pretty much a must right now to win 4 or 5 of this homestand. Preferably they go out there and they win 5 or 6. If they went and had a two series sweep right now, I mean, that would really get everyone going. But however, like if they go 4-2, I still think that's a win. They just got to keep holding the Reds off. They're in a close spot. And if you guys have seen, the Padres have the hardest remaining schedule, I think, at like an average opponent of like, I think their average winning percentage is like 560. And the Reds are the second lowest, and there's this like 472, I think it was. But basically, the Padres have like one of the hardest schedules, and the Reds have the second easiest. So a pretty tough spot right now for San Diego. But if they get hot, like we've seen that this team can really go and get going. So, Isaac, do you think that this series can kind of get them going? Do you think there's a chance that happens? I know that right now it's a pretty rough spot after getting swept by the Rockies, but I think, you know, potentially Snell and Musgrove to start out the series can be huge.
Of course. This is a huge spot for the Padres to come back and bounce back from a really bad, you know, stint on the road. And that's not, you know, that wasn't pretty to see. Obviously, all of our hopes are down significantly right now. All of us are probably thinking we probably won't make the playoffs, but this is a good opportunity for the team to get back on track. I've mentioned before, this team controls their own destiny, and there's no better way to start than getting one of the teams that are, you know, quite frankly, on their asses. Like, there's no better team to win against right now than the Phillies. Of course, other than the Reds, but we don't play them. You know, it's time to get the Phillies off your backs a little bit, win at least 2 of the next 3 and get going from there. You know, go into that Dodger series a little hot streak of 3 games maybe. It's just time for this team to wake up. I really like this lineup tonight. I'm really excited for this lineup tonight. You know, we've mentioned that, you know, the leadoff should be Grisham or Pham, and Pham's leading off with Tatis next. Tatis playing center field. You know, that's something new that we haven't seen yet. That's super exciting. Grisham will probably come off the bench, maybe Frazier as well, and that's also something really exciting to see. So hopefully this team finally wakes up, puts it all together, and puts up a lot of runs. And it's bump day today, so hopefully Blake Snell goes out there and shoves it.
Yeah, I just want to see Blake Snell continue in the right direction. You know, last game he did struggle with his location a little bit, but he worked through some innings. And, you know, he's kind of put together some quality start. I think, was it 3 or 4 in a row now where he hasn't really gotten shelled. He's really been building himself forward, and that's exactly what we need him to do. And we need him to go out and do that again tonight. I mean, the Phillies do have, you know, MVP candidate Bryce Harper, but outside of that, I feel like Snell should have a pretty good time with the lineup. And, you know, it's kind of – this is probably one of the lineups I've most liked in recent memory because it just feels more complete. We'll see how Tatis does in center field. That's the only thing I'm kind of concerned with because center field is a lot of field to cover, and you're not familiar with the ballpark like that. You might get him running into some walls if he tries to track down a deep fly ball or some miscommunication with fam out and left. You know, it's just one of those things. You never know how it's going to go until you watch it. So that would probably be my only concern. I'm hoping Snell's deals tonight. You know, if we get six innings from Snell, I think that would be the perfect outing for him.
And just kind of going back a little bit to like that spark stuff, Chase, do you think that this series could potentially provide that? Especially looking at how, you know, tough of a schedule it's going to be after that.
Yeah. If not tonight's game, tomorrow game's definitely needs to be the spark, because if we just continue to lose, it's just kind of like lowers everybody's mentality even more and more and more. So if we don't win tonight and we don't win tomorrow and we lose this series, it's just kind of taking two steps back to move forward, which you really rather move forward than take two steps back. So.
All right, and then I have a couple questions. We can start off with this one, then you guys can just start sending in what, you know, any questions you guys have, and we'll start going through them. This is the first one from Oscar. If the Padres miss the playoffs, do you think Tingler should be gone? I don't think Tingler should be gone, but I think it's very likely that you see Rothschild gone, just because where's the biggest concern coming from? Probably the pitching staff, I would say, at this point, especially the starters. And especially looking at, you know, the expectations heading into this season for the starters, and then they weren't really quite there. But as far as Tingler being gone, I don't think that's on the table. I don't think that would come the same year as Rothschild being let go. I think that's a lot more likely. But that's where I'm on it with this.
I don't think Tingler should get fired if we don't make the playoffs. A lot of injuries to the pitching staff right now. That's really out of his control. You know, I don't blame him for that. I do think that, you know, they maybe need to have a talk with him about, you know, more lineup consistency and just having some more fire, you know. Like, it seems like he's too laid back about this whole situation going on right now. It doesn't feel like he knows that the Reds are on his back. It doesn't really feel like that. And I know he doesn't have to express his concerns to the fan base or anything or to the media, but, you know, just seeing what he does on the field, seeing his reactions to, you know, yeah, I mean, like last year, didn't defend Tatis, and he doesn't go out there and fight for his guys the way Schumacher did when he got tossed out. It's just I want that more from him, and of course that's not a big con of Jace Tingler. It's just that's what you want from a manager. That's something that I look for. But I think he's a good manager. I think he has some, you know, I think everyone in the season has some iffy bullpen decisions, but I actually think he's done pretty decent with the bullpen as far as it, how he's handled the injuries and everything. I think he's done a fine job. So I hope he's back next year.
I'm on the fence with it. I've never been the biggest fan of Jace Tingler. I think he's improved from like his first year with his first year, you know, it looked like he was going to be a very questionable manager. He made a lot of questionable calls with the bullpen, and the lineups thing is still very inconsistent, you know. He's gotten better, but there's still a lot of things we can question about it. I mean, that's going to happen with every manager. But like Isaac was saying, you don't really see a fire in Jace Tingler. Even like if there's a couple bad calls or where the ump is completely screwing over the Padres, Jace Tingler, whenever he gets ejected, he's just like, okay, yeah, that, yeah. And then you see the press conference and he gives the same answer. Yeah, we've been struggling with this. Like, you know, you've been struggling with this. Why haven't adjustments been made yet? It's been 2 to 3 series. Normally, you want to see adjustments after the first, if not second. But it's been 3 series against some of the worst teams in baseball. So, I don't know what's happening in the dugout. Like, we don't know what's happening in the clubhouse. We don't know how well the players respect Tingler or anything about that. If the team has Tingler's back and Tingler has its back, and then I think we should move on with Tingler. But if not, I think Tingler might need to, you know, be released. And, hey, you know what, go after a guy like Ron Washington or someone like that.
I think it's a pretty fair answer. And I definitely understand being on the fence. I don't think it's, you know, quite time for any like drastic measures yet. I am concerned though. And I think everyone should be a little bit concerned. Though I do think it's kind of tough to judge him completely this year with the amount of pitching injuries. Cause I wouldn't put that on his shoulders. I don't think that's his fault. Next question here. How do you feel about Kim instead of Frazier? I think you mean tonight, Igor. So I would say for tonight, it makes sense. Moving forward, I don't think that's what they're planning on doing. I think that Frazier is almost that everyday starting second baseman. But I think for today, I think it's a good idea. You know, Frazier's been struggling. Maybe let him, you know, take a breather, you know, reset a little bit. If you guys have not noticed his launch angle, it has completely fallen off the table. So we'll see what happens with that. But hopefully, you know, that starts getting going. But I do think tonight it makes sense. But I do think that Frazier will eventually pull through. It's just that his numbers are really down than what he normally is at right now.
I really like the move for today. Frazier's in a massive slump. I said, you got to take him out of that leadoff spot. Day I said that, he hits 4 ground balls. Didn't get it out of the infield. That's really bad. Like, if you're the leadoff hitter and, you know, the coach says, I want you to lead off so that way you can get on for Tatis, but you're hitting ground balls to the first baseman nonstop, it calls for you to get sat the next game. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just what it is. Do I think he's going to bounce back? Of course, he came to us, you know, as starting all-star second baseman, batting .327 with almost a .400 on base percentage. So of course, I expect him to bounce back. It's just a matter of right now, the Padres are in a really dire situation where, you know, they need some consistency in the lineup. They need someone to provide them that jolt of energy and you know, get on, you know, do the job. And that hasn't been Frazier lately. And I think Kim has a decent possibility to be able to go out there. And because we all know the guys love Kim. They love Ha-Sung. So, you know, maybe that's their spark of energy outside of Tatis. Batting eighth, I like him down there. I like Fan leading off. So overall, you know, I think I can speak for all of us when I say this lineup is my favorite lineup, at least for Matt and Chase and I. This is my favorite lineup recently. So hopefully they go out there and put up a lot of runs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way Frazier's been hitting, you probably want to sit him down and give him a break because hitting 4 ground balls in a row and then with the previous games always hitting it on the ground, it's rough. You know, maybe you have him today, you know, go get him one-on-one with the hitting coach and maybe that fixes it. Give him a couple of days off, really focus on the mechanics of the swings. And then on the third day, you know, hey, you know what? This guy's a little bit weaker of a pitcher in the league. Go after him. Do your thing. See what adjustments need to be made after that and then focus on it for your next at-bat. And then number two, I think he may have been sat today because it is lefty versus lefty. And with the way he has been struggling, I would probably prefer Kim in that situation too. If putting a guy, I don't know how Frazier's lefty numbers are, but I feel like Kim hits lefty just a little bit better. And with the way he's been struggling with the bat, I'd probably sit Frazier too.
All right, interesting. I do think that right now it does make sense, but I think that we all have confidence in Frazier moving forward. Maybe not to put up the numbers that he was putting up in Pittsburgh necessarily, but, you know, to be a pretty solid table setter or into the lineup kind of guy, and just a really solid pure hitter, and probably a guy that's in the lineup, maybe not every day, but most days. One thing I'll show here real quick, Scarmilli, may as well pull the trigger and put Gore in the mix. Not like we aren't already sinking. I'm all for it. We've talked about Gore. It feels like almost weekly throughout this whole season, just because it's been so crazy. Wouldn't it be nice if Mackenzie Gore came in and kind of got everyone going again, you know, in like a week or two, and it kind of gets everyone woken up a little bit, all of Friar faithful. And he's a guy that comes in and potentially could save the season. I mean, that would talk about a year where it's just so many up and downs. That would be a fantastic way to end it. And kind of, you know, let everyone remember, all right, this is Mackenzie Gore that we thought that, you know, was a top three pick, wasn't it? That's number two pick. Super high, right? You know, a top five prospect. Now he's down to 64. But that would be a fantastic way, I think, to end this year after that. But question for both you guys, Isaac and Chase, with Paddock out, so let's pretend that Darvish comes back. So you know those three pitchers. What would your ideal rotation be right now if you could call up either a Mackenzie Gore or an Adrian Martinez to add to the mix? Who would be your five?
So those three are obviously the first three. And this is assuming Paddock is going to be out for an extended time, right? Yeah? Okay. Mac, I guess. There's really no better options. So I would go Mac. And then either, this is tough, either Martinez or, you know, worst comes to worst, Diaz, Chris Matt, I guess. I mean, think about it. That's how low we are. That's how many guys we have. Like, that's really how desperate we are. But Mac would be my four just because who else do we have?
So are we assuming Weathers is in or out of the rotation at this point?
I mean, that's up to you. I'm taking him out personally. I feel bad for the kid. He's getting rocked every time he's coming out. I think it's brutal what they're doing to Ryan. But yeah, it's up to you.
Okay. So yeah, I probably put – so what is it? Darvish 1, Snell 2, Musgrove 3. Then I would probably put Martinez at 4 and Mackenzie Gore at 5. Just because Musgrove, you know, usually he can get you 6 innings right around there. And then Adrian Martinez, we don't know how he's been, but he seems that he can pitch deep into games. And if Tinkler does let him do that, I feel like him and a Ryan Weathers piggyback would be nice. Having him, you know, Martinez go 5 innings and then Weathers come out of the bullpen for a couple. Let Weathers, you know, face the heart of the lineup a couple times, but also not to the point where he might get rocked. Let him slowly build up his confidence. And then you let Mackenzie Gore do his thing for however many pitches he's allowed to, however many innings he's allowed to. But you should really let him build to try to get to 5 innings each start. Even if he's getting a little roughed up, you want him to work through some situations in the MLB. So if he does become useful towards the end of the season, if not playoffs, you want him to kind of pitch in some high-leverage situations and work out of them.
I like that. I think I would probably go with Adrian Martinez at 4 and then Mackenzie Gore at 5. And then really, I think it would just be performance-based, and then whoever it pitches better up to that point would probably take over the 5, and Paddock would move into 4 when he would come back. I'm guessing that's kind of similar to what you guys were thinking. But I do kind of wonder how long they would be able to go. Another option I think that we didn't bring up, it would be Reese Neer. He could potentially go after either of those two guys. Because he's came in and he can go 3-4 innings. He really can. And Chase, we were talking about it. I don't know if it was the last live stream, but we were talking about it one time recently that he goes like 7 innings when he gets called down into the minors. Like, he could be stretched out a lot more. So him potentially kind of coming in, him, Stammen, or Nabil or Miggy Diaz as well, to can come in there and, you know, eat up a lot of innings, that can help a lot. Another thing is, if they call up Mackenzie Gore, it's the first inning and he's getting roughed up, they might have to pull him, you know, a little early. Well, there's a lot of guys in the bullpen that can pitch for a lot of innings and kind of like eat up those days if it's like a lost day. But I think potentially getting the high end of Mackenzie Gore is worth it at this point. Not a fan of signing Jake Arrieta to come in and get rocked and deliver a loss. Like, I would just rather see, and I get it might take like a week because he needs to get another start in. But I think as soon as possible, and I think that you could have called in up Adrian Martinez straight from AA. That's kind of where I was at with this team. So we'll see how it goes out. But let's see. What else do we got? Not that big on the minors. Is Reggie Lawson way too far away? Reggie Lawson's hurt still, right?
He's working his way back from injury. I haven't checked his stats more recently, but like a month ago, he was only going – an inning or two per start just so that he was building up his pitch count. So I don't think he's an option this year. If he does get called up in September, I don't think it's going to be anything more than a relief role just because he is coming back from injury and still working his way back. So yeah, I think if he come up at all this season, it's definitely going to be in like a 1 or 2 inning stint type of role.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Cronenworth should throw a couple bullpens. Yeah, we were talking about that. We were talking about that a while back. Yeah, we said that's the way you fix the season, is you let Cronenworth, you know, bring his inner Otani out and save the team.
Yeah, bro, he struck out Mookie.
He did strike out Mookie.
He sat him down.
Got another couple other comments. Offense going to break through tonight. Really hope so. Really hope that's the case. That would really, you know, this team has been so dead lately. So getting a little spark would be, I mean, that's all that we're asking for at this point. It's like, please just get going, get hot, and sneak into the playoffs, because that's what it is at this point. The injury bug in all of our clubhouse, top to bottom. Martinez got roughed up in his first start in El Paso. Yeah, he did get roughed up, but I think you're going to see him come out there again. That happens a lot in El Paso. I think that we were talking about that a little bit.
We will see you tomorrow. His next start is tomorrow night. So I feel like he's going to do a lot, but I feel like it's one of those things with El Paso. So I think he makes an adjustment, he'll be fine.
100%. That's a fake ballpark.
People can just get destroyed there. Let's see. What else? What else you guys got? Anything else you guys want to bring up? Any other questions you got?
This is a pretty big matchup. Obviously, it's two MVP candidates going at it. You know, Chase brought up Bryce Harper is definitely a scary part of this lineup. Before the Padres actually had anyone good, Bryce Harper was my favorite player. So this is kind of cool. My old favorite player, my new favorite player, going at it for MVP, going at it today. That's how it was earlier in the season, of course. But this is pretty cool to see. Obviously, JT Realmuto. Another really good hitter for the Phillies. Apparently has really good numbers against the Padres. And surprisingly, Jean Segura, I saw, has really good numbers against the Padres. So, those three guys right there could be scary to face, especially if Jean Segura decides to actually do something, which apparently he does against the Padres. So this is going to be an interesting series. And we definitely need Snell and Musgrove to shove, because this team needs that kind of spark from their starting pitchers right now.
I do got a question for y'all. Before we go back to the comments, what prospects do you guys want to see called up in September?
Cool.
Okay, but like other than pitching, can we talk about pitching?
Prospects?
Yeah, hitting prospects.
Let me check them out.
I kind of want to see Hassel get called up. I know it's really early, but I think that he could potentially be the starting left fielder next year. In an interesting scenario, but I do think there's a chance that he could be that guy. I know he's super young. I know it's unlikely, but if he came to spring training and just looked like he was a monster, it would be hard to say no, I feel like.
This one's obvious for me. Sorry, Chase. Go for it.
I'm guessing you're going to say Campusano.
I'm going to say Campusano because...
I want to see Joshua Mears.
I was thinking that was a good pick, too.
I just want to see his MLB. That's it.
Yeah, he has a massive pop. And I say Campusano because, you know, Yu Darvish is out right now. So maybe this isn't going to be the case when, you know, like in September or when Darvish comes back. This probably won't be the case. But right now, Caratini doesn't really provide you much value because, yes, he calls some great games. He catches Musgrove, but also – you know, he doesn't provide enough value at the plate. He's consistently one of the weak spots in the lineup. Of course, he's had some really clutch moments so far this year, so that's been awesome to see. But in terms of everything else, like, I think people get caught up in those clutch moments and they think, oh, yeah, he's a good player. But, you know, the stats say otherwise. Campusano was supposed to be a really good hitting prospect. I know he struggled earlier this year, but that was his first game action. That was his first game action in forever, you know. So it was good to see him up there, and he was actually hitting the ball pretty hard. But right now he's raking in AAA. I know we say fake ballpark, but it's hard to deny that he's raking. And I think he'd be a better option at the plate right now than Caratini. Behind the plate, maybe not, but you know, is what it is.
Yeah. Like I said, Joshua Mears would be my guy. I just kind of want to see where he's at in his development, because I know he goes on little hot streaks down in, I think it's single A. So maybe getting him some reps against MLB at bats either helps him with his progress and might hurt him. You know, we do want Franimal back. I miss Franimal with a passion. Every time I see him, I'm just like, I wonder how he's doing. And I'll look and like, we could get on our ball club now.
Yeah, man. I miss him too.
Oh, yeah, I saw that and I had to bring it up because apparently he's been on fire lately. So that always hurts when you're like, oh yeah, Framel hit up this lineup quite a bit. I think everybody that was a Padres, every Padres fan was just like, man, this sucks right when they traded him. Let's see, where will Abrams rate? We got a good one though, real quick. What were you going to say though?
All right. I was going to say almost every guy we've traded to the Indians has balled out. Naylor,
the two guys, Boston, I probably.
Killing it. Yeah.
The two Naylor's guys killing it for at least.
Quantrill was what, under a one ERA throughout all of July or like until now?
It's brutal. Okay, what do you guys think about this? What will Abrams play when he gets called up? I'm going to say shortstop.
It's fair. I just don't know what they want to do with Tatis. That's kind of like if I had a for sure option, because I mean, I'd still like to see Tatis at shortstop. I know he makes a lot of errors, but you know, those, he's 22. He can easily fix those. Those are, you know, this is just the growing pains of a, you know, it's just the growing pains of him. It's not like Derek Jeter didn't make a bunch of errors. That dude was an error machine. Obviously Baez is too, but I think the luxury of having both of those guys is that obviously Tatis can play outfield. He played outfield when he was younger, apparently. So you can plug him into the outfield or shortstop. And I honestly think you could do the same with Abrams. Kind of a, I mean, I guess somewhat utility guys. I think you could do them with both. And I think as long as, you know, they're in the lineup, I think that's where their presence will be felt the most. So I can care less where they play as long as, you know, both of those guys. Obviously, Tatis is already what we expected him to be, but hopefully Abrams can be what we expect him to be too, and those can be the two guys for, you know, years to come.
Yeah, Isaac, I think you're a little too nice to Jeter there. He was like one of the worst defensive rated shortstops in all of history, so you might not want to be made a handful of – no, he was bad at short. Tatis is better there. However, I do like Abrams at – short more than Tatis. I like Tatis in the outfield, especially considering his kind of other thing, you know, kind of the less he can dive in the infield, I feel like the better. So I know he's going to get surgery on it this offseason, but if it comes to a recurring problem, I'd rather him just play in the outfield. And one, I think like Abrams might have just a little bit more range because of the speed he has, and having him and Cronenworth that short and second, if not altering those two, you really shore up that infield and you don't have to really worry about any wildos, because from what we've seen from Abrams in the minors, he doesn't make that many errors, and I feel like he gets the ball on the line every single time.
Well, one more thing real quick. It's worth noting, Chase brought up the Tatis surgery. It's not a guarantee that Tatis would be ready for the season. If he were to get surgery over the offseason, I've seen that it's not a guarantee. I've seen it could be a month, maybe a little longer, and maybe he's ready for the season, but we don't know. In that case, I think Abrams will be ready. I think, you know, he'd have to get a lot of spring training at-bats so that way he can start getting ready, start preparing for some major league pitching. And then realistically, you could definitely see him at shortstop, put Cronenworth back at second. Where does that leave Frazier? I don't care. But you know, that's my whole thing, is that I say I don't care because Abrams is gonna be better, Jake is already better, Tatis will come back and he's already better, you know, so there's just, I don't know if there's gonna be anywhere for the dude to play.
No, that's a fair point. I do think there's a good chance that Abrams could play left field too. I said Tatis could easily be in the outfield. The reason I think that it's more likely that Abrams plays short and Tatis plays right is that look around the league and look at where all the sluggers play. They pretty much, I mean, like, there's other guys, but the majority of the top end hitters in the league play in right field. A lot less wear and tear there. And if Fernando, I mean, we know how like reckless of a player he is at shortstop, and that's not to be taken as like a negative thing. It's like he's reckless in a good way. He's all over the place. He's making highlight reel plays all the time, both when he's running the bases and when he's playing the field. One of the injuries this year came when he was fielding. That was in the spring training. And then there was a couple other games where we've seen him like wince at pain when he dives at a ball or whatever the case is. But it's pretty clear that there is a lot more wear and tear, I think, at shortstop than right field. Now, the big thing was, is he comfortable at right? He looks very comfortable at right, in my opinion. but I don't know. I think I would probably lean that you'll see Abrams at short just because they're going to feel a lot better allowing him to, you know, be a rangy shortstop that might not have the high end as a fielder that Tatis does. Because I also agree, Isaac, you brought it up, like, you know, you can look at him and say he has a lot of errors, but he's going to be a really good fielding shortstop. But I still think that, you know, if you're able to save him and allow him, you know, less reps there and to not get beat up, I think there's a very good chance. Also, Andrew, I like the lineup that you have here. The only thing is that when Frazier's been in left, it's been a little bit like it's been rough this year. And I think that having a whole spring training would look a lot better. So for next year, I think there's a chance that a lineup could look something similar to that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because I was going to say this year, I don't want that dude touching left field. That guy, all I had to do was watch his first game to know he sucks at left field.
Well, to be fair, he doesn't have a lot of reps in Petco. He was playing his whole year at PNC, so like, I'd feel better, you know, in the off season. You get some reps in Petco after spring training and everything. But yeah, absolutely not this year. And I feel I'm more of an advocate for Tatis and Wright, just because I feel like his arm plays so much better there than at shortstop. Because I feel like, hey, if there's like a sharp line drive to right field, man, I want to see Tatis pick that thing and rope it to first just to see if he can get him out. And if not, I feel like we'll give up less triples and maybe, you know, prevent some doubles, which is how strong his arm is in right field.
Yeah, he I don't know if you guys saw, he threw like 98 the other day from right. It's 98. He's going to be throwing triple digits out of right field, you know, one hoppers to the plate from Petco porch, throwing guys out. He would be amazing in right field. That's why I think it's going to help. That, like, why it could be something that could benefit the team. I also see some people talking about having Nola play first base. Love Nola at first base. Also, another guy, a lot less wear and tear. We've seen Nola get hurt, was it, 3-4 times so far in his very short tenure with the Padres. If you can keep his bat in the lineup, I'd rather have him at first. Now, Will Haas has been stepping up, but I think we've seen through the 4 years of Hosmer, I think we see like kind of where we've seen him. But that, the idea of putting Nola at first base. I think the game is about to start. Anything else you guys want to add before we take off?
No, I'm good.
I just wanted to say, Nola's been injured a lot, but it's been kind of a lot of bad luck. Like the foul balls off the hands when catching or getting hit in the wrist in his first, you know, after he comes back from being injured. The knee sprain is probably just from catching, but we've seen it. When Nola first got back into the league after being injured, what happened to him immediately? You guys remember?
Nola?
Yeah. Remember like his first game back? No, remember he got hit in the hand. His first at bat, they 96 ran in, hit him on the hand. I'm like, well, there goes Nola. And then like a week later, the same thing. 95, just straight onto the hand. I'm just like, do they hate this man? Like, every time he gets hit, it's on the hand that actually, I'm just like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, it's not even his fault. It's just bad luck.
Yeah. Real quick, final thing. What's your prediction? I think the Padres win tonight. I think they're going to take the series from the Phillies, whether that be a 2-1, you know, series victory or a sweep. I would definitely rather have the sweep, but I do think they're going to take this series from the Phillies and hopefully it gets them back on track.
Padres win, Blake Snell shoves. That's it.
You know what? I'll say they sweep. I'm hoping for a sweep.
All right. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Game's about to start and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.